In the name of Jesus, amen. Hear the word of the Lord. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God uses people to teach us. And I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about how God used a couple of ladies to teach me. They had no knowledge of their teaching. Both of them have the name Norma. It's just the way it works out. Norma number one. This goes back years and years ago when I was serving a church in Centralia, Illinois, before we came to Streeter. And Norma number one, she had just moved to that community, and she needed a ride to church. I don't know how you'd put this politically correctly, but she was slow. She was special needs. She would never be able to pass a driver's test, and she was poor. She would never be able to afford a car. She had a variety of health problems. She did live by herself and in government housing, and she was able to get where she needed to go either by walking or asking people for rides. And so she called on the church, and I went to visit her to kind of figure out how everything was going. She was very excited to have a visitor. And I'm guessing she must have been maybe in her 50s at the time. And when I walked into her apartment, I noticed the picture right away. It was right there in her on her living room wall. It was her confirmation picture from when she was in junior high. Right there, right on her living room wall. Had maybe 10 or 12 other people in the picture, all dressed in white robes. And Norma had to point out to me which one she was in the picture. And she was so proud. She was so proud of that picture. I was a young pastor then, or at least younger than I am now. I graduated from college, had a couple of degrees, been to seminary, had way more going on in my life than Norma did. She had this 40-plus-year-old confirmation picture hanging on her living room wall. I couldn't even tell you where my confirmation picture was. Could very well be that she was more proud of being a Lutheran than her pastor was. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, so that no human being might boast before him. That's Norma number one. Norma number two, some of you may remember, she went to church here. She died about 10 years ago. Norma number two also needed a ride to church. Norma number two, she lived in a group home. She worked at Streeter Unlimited. And some of you helped give Norma a ride to church. Every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, my phone would ring at the parsonage. Reverend? She always called me Reverend. Reverend, this is Norma. I need a ride to church. Okay, Norma, we'll have someone there to get you. And we had it all worked out. It all worked out. It was never last minute. But she was so insistent on having a way to get to church. She didn't drive. But she was so insistent and so eager to go to church, sometimes more than her pastor was. That was Norma. I went to go visit her one time at her group home, and I stepped into the doorway, and she didn't ask me, Pastor, is it okay if I give you a hug? She didn't say, are you comfortable with that? Nope. She just grabbed me. Great big bear hug. Huh? That was Norma. No reservation, no hesitation. Just open acceptance. And then she introduced me to the other people at the group home like I was the king of England. So proud she was to have her pastor visit her. Not because I'm such a wonderful person, any of that, just because I came to visit her. I don't know that I would have welcomed Norma in that same way had she come to visit me in my home. I learned from that Norma as well. It was humbling, and I have rarely been so warmly welcomed. She's far more kind and welcoming, accepting than I have been. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, so that no human being might boast before him. The world does not and will not notice the Normas of this world. They're really easy to pass by and overlook. And we may even look down our noses at them. Folks who are living off of government assistance, who don't eat right, watch too much TV, and smell funny. And it's easy for us to judge. And the only thoughts we might have is, I'm glad I'm not like them. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. We so want to be noticed. We do not want to be last or least or little. We have such a tremendous fear of losing, of looking like a failure, and above all, of being a failure. And yet, when we hear God's word, what do we discover? We discover the last shall be first. That Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. That Jesus invites the littlest to himself. Those who try to save their lives will lose it, Jesus said, and those who lose their lives for his sake will save it. But there's something even more strange about our fear. And anybody who gives some thought to the way human life runs can spot it. And of course, human life runs downhill. And it's the absolute certainty of our losing. Climb as high as we might on the ladder of success, we eventually lose our grip. We start out healthy and end up sick. Or some of us start out sick and end up sicker. We start out in possession of our senses, and we lose them, more or less. But above all, we start out alive, and we end up dead. Not just dead poor, or dead tired, or dead in our sins, but always without fail, just plain dead. And that's not true just for those people who don't eat right and exercise. That's true for all of us. None of us can outsmart it. You can't outwise it. You can't figure out some way to get around it. In Genesis chapter 3, we bump into the first time the word wise is used. And it's used in the encounter between the serpent and Adam and Eve. The serpent says to Eve, did God actually say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? And Eve says to the snake, we can eat of the fruit of the trees in the midst of the garden, but God said you shall not eat of that fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. How did that quest for wisdom turn out? It destroyed their lives. It destroyed their lives. It brought death into their lives, into the lives of all creation. So what does God do? Does God give them rules for a happier life? Does God say, well, you know, you need to try harder to be good? No. God kicks them out of the Garden of Eden so they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever. God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden so that they would die. I want to live forever. I don't want to die. Come with me next time or sometime when I'm going next door to the nursing home and say to somebody who's bedridden, oh, you're going to live forever like that. It'd be a horrendous thing for them to hear. We think of living forever. We think, oh, living forever in our health and in our vitality. And we forget that we are affected by sin. And what puts an end to the sin that affects your life is death. God, in His infinite grace and mercy, uses death to bring about life. That's how God works. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, He told them that disobedience would bring death, and it did, and it does. But then God begins to unfold His plan of saving His people, and He will save His people of all things by using death, the death of His one and only Son. God shows His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why the word of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Jesus does not come to fix the fixable or repair the repairable or to somehow improve the improvable. Jesus comes to raise the dead. And so lastness, leastness, littleness, deadness, those are all things that are right up God's alley. And all of your struggle against not wanting to be last, least, little, or even dead won't stop that from happening. But here's the amazing thing. God will use death in your life. God, in fact, will use your death to display in you the greatest power from God you have ever witnessed when He raises your dead body from the grave. That's the kind of Lord that you have. God uses things we could never have imagined. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it's because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So you don't need to fear last, little, least, or even deadness. You can actually embrace it, let it be what it is. Because what you'll discover is Jesus is right there. Right there. Last, little, least, even in your deadness, Jesus is with you. To Him be all glory and honor. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.